John 14, 15, 16, and 17 were essentially all said during, and in addition to what was the scriptures and things that were read on the night of the Passover. John 14, 15, and 16 are specific things that Jesus is teaching or talking to them about and what they should see. And then John 17 is literally his presenting the disciples, and then the not just them, but the people that believed on him, to the Lord on the altar. And there's no way to overemphasize the importance of the real Lord's Prayer, which is John 17. We don't have time to do it now, but to truly understand it, you should read 14, 15, and 16, and then see how John 17, Jesus takes all that and summarizes it as the prayer that whatever he had just said in those other three chapters would be fulfilled. And there are three words that affect you and affect all believers. It's the word that we think of in as terms of received, but it really, in this context, it means the total acknowledgement. But it's to receive, to believe, and then to know. Since all men received, again, the scriptures tell us that to them that received him, he gave the efficacy to become the sons of God or the children of God. It's not like that's the basis upon which people say, will you make a decision for Christ? But it's the idea is that all men received the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, so all men, and the Spirit can do nothing except enhance or for the purpose of, or it's all about Jesus. So that to them that received him, he gave the efficacy, the power, to become the children of God. So all men received him on the day of Pentecost. That's when the quote-unquote gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. He didn't leave his eternal plan in the hands of you or I, or in the hands of Pat Robertson or Jan Crouch or Benny Hinn, because the human race received him on Pentecost. So remember these three words: to receive, to believe, and then to know, when we study this. So now this is Christ. I mean, it's the first time we've really gotten into the mind of Christ in terms of what his prayer and his communication was with the Father. And it's momentous. It's beyond momentous. What? Now you're doing it again, Gary.
I do it every day. But that received word, I'm trying to get a fix on. Preachers use it as a point of decision making, pressing you against the wall to make your decision. But in fact, it's not something you can decide to do or not do. It's not your decision to be saved. It's God who works in your will. So that word's real critical.
We've talked about this a million times, that if you still have enough strength left to make a decision, you will automatically, you'll choose the instead of Christ, namely you. You will choose God as a vehicle to enhance you. Okay, everybody do me a favor. Let's all be at the same place at the same time. So if I say something and you feel like it has to be talked about or thought about, then stop me. So we can all do it at the same time.
I was just getting ready to stop you.
I noticed.
Yeah.
All right? Everybody got the predicate?
Come on, Gary. Give us a predicate. The receive is in 1 John, it says, the anointing you've received.
All right. The anointing is the anointing. The word anoint is the word. I can't believe we have to keep going backwards. The anoint is the word that you, the word, it's you're Christed. That's not separate from Christ. So you can't have an anointing separate from Christ, because if you do, you have a false anointing. It's his name in Hebrew is Yeshua HaMashiach. And it means the word, the great part about the word for Jesus is the first part, the first syllable of his first name, if you will. It's Yesh, Yeshua. And Yesh is the word that describes the action if there is a hole in a huge dam and then slowly but surely it gets, and the only thing that's stopping the river of living water from flowing out is rebellion. Because the dam is rebellion. And that's why he says, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. That's not a moral option. That's an eternal fact because of his yesh. So to deny there means to dam the water. That's why you get upset, because when you say, I tell you, the only thing you have to do is to say what's there, to prophesy. And then you say, well, if I say do that, I get in trouble. No, you're in trouble already. But saying it is what causes the yesh process of the first syllable of his name, Yeshua. HaMashiach is the solely, the anointed one. He alone is the anointed one. Christ isn't his last name. Jesus speaks of his action and Christ is the title. He's the anointed one, the only begotten of the Father. Amen? Now what do you...
If you want to, you can say, I've been telling you this for 20 years before I say it, if you want.
You've been telling you now for how many years? 23 years.
23 years, okay. Something just got past my defenses. I can tell it's failed. I always go, oh, yeah, I understand that. Boy, it's really stupid to do that. And you say, it's far more than stupid. It's evil. It's sin. It's a sin that crucified Christ. It's, you know. And that's never registered, but something just registered. If Jesus Christ is shed, if all men, I've never heard anybody say before that all men have received Christ.
It says it in the first chapter.
I know, but all I've ever heard without really hearing it is, you need to receive Christ. Will you agree to receive Christ? But if all men have already received Christ, then it is incredibly, I mean, we're evil to begin with, but we're 10 times evil. If we've already received the free gift and refuse it.
Okay, that's what the Feast of Pentecost is about. When Peter, the greatest speaker at the time, he said, this is what, when they said, what the hell's going on here? Are these guys drunk? And he said, no, this is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And my spirit shall be shed on all flesh. I didn't make this up. It's what it says in Joel, and it's what it says is fulfilled in Acts 2.
I start doing this God stuff, you know, going to other churches or shelters or whatever.
You're mumbling.
For your beans and whatever.
Okay.
But, you know, I was thinking the first time I heard you say that, if you have the strength to make decisions for Jesus, you know, whatever. So, the early years I was thinking, okay, well, if you don't make a decision to accept Christ in your heart, then it's like, to me, then, you know, it's like, well, how can you be saved unless you make that declaration, you know?
Well, Scripture, I mean, again, with the, it's, if you believe that in your heart Jesus was raised from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth that phenomenon, you shall be saved. You can't believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead in your heart until you've tried to believe everything else. Because you are made to fornicate spiritually. You're made to go everywhere else other than God before you return to Him. You're made to see. That's the only way you can see. That's why, remember Paul, what we studied 100 times. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Well, okay, so you take a vow of chastity and you abstain from fornication, so that means I've done. No, that's not what it means. Fornicate is to go, if you believe the prophet Hosea and the rest, if fornicate is to go anywhere other than God for anything. And if you're going to your mind, it's spiritual masturbation. If you're going to others, it's fornication. That's why it says, go. You know, I used to get Mr. Boho, Mr. Carolyn, so mad because we'd be driving up to Oklahoma because we had to go up there all the time. And there's jillions of trees, you know, parts of that drive. And I said, John, tell me, which of those trees haven't you committed fornication under? Don't. And we go up there next time. Don't even say it. Because all of us, that's what we've done. We've tried to find the green tree and the green, but it's not out there. It's the green trees in here, our little Christmas trees that we've built in our little mountains. They're all dead, but because the axe has already been laid to the root of the tree, but we try to decorate the tree and we try to do everything we can to make it still alive, and we make them alive by giving breath to ourselves.
This takes us right back to the very beginning of John. He's the light that lighteth all men that come into the world.
Every man. And men love the darkness more than the light.
They received him not.
There's nothing about God's stuff that's optional. It says, all right, my favorite one. He says, no one comes to the Father but by me. So that means, it's not our business who comes to the Father, but the eternal fact is no one can get to the Father, no one can get to eternity except through Christ, because He's the only one that came from eternity. Are we ready now to do John 17?
I'm still thinking a little bit about the received thing of how, and seen this way, how evil it is, because it stops you in your tracks as a new believer, because you can say to yourself, aha, I have done it. I have received, I have made my decision for Christ. And so now it's you and Jesus got a good thing going.
You remember how I used to make fun of Wendy for her once saved, always saved?
Yeah.
Saved, the word saved is the merest of beginnings.
Yeah.
It's like you make it across the Red Sea or just in the middle of it and you yell, I'm saved. And then pretty soon you're going to get run over by the Egyptian army. Or the, what they want you to do is to get to go through the water of baptism and arise in a new life. That cannot be influenced by the pharaohs or the world chasing you. How can you be influenced by anything if there's nothing you want or need? There's nothing that can influence you. And that's the definition. That's the definition of freedom.
she dissatisfied with.
And again, the only reason that all these jokers that are committing fraud in the name of God, that God has allowed them to arise, is so we can see ourselves without the cross. If you don't know that, then you're a fool. Now, again, the word Exodus is I mean, Jesus, he wasn't born in the world, so the Exodus from the world for Passover was, you know, was obviously your Exodus isn't from like some physical place. The Exodus is from time. So that you're no longer influenced by time or the passage of time in anything or anything you say. Anything you think, it can't be influenced by the passage of time, because hereby know you the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh, in you is of God. Every spirit that doesn't. And so that's why I keep telling you, if it's not 2,000 years old, it's crap. And every invention and every improvement and every idea that man has had for 2,000 plus years has been an attempt to flee the revelation of Christ. Can you really see that? And you, in doing so, you crucify the Son of God afresh, because every time you return to the mind for anything, you're pounding another thorn into his head. Every time you think you have something to do, you're nailing the nails into his hands. Any time you think you have to go anywhere, you're nailing the nails into his feet. So the crucifixion process is what you do continually, because you say the sacrifice wasn't enough for you because you're so friggin' special. Can you see the evilness of man for a minute? Not just man out there, I'm talking about you. Can you see why you are the chief of sinners? Because you are the instead of Christ, and all you're capable of doing is lying from God's perspective. All we all are capable of doing. That's why we don't give any importance. We owe our minds nothing. And that's why to try to sit there and think about something, it's a trick. You've been seduced. So you're up there fornicating under another green tree. This one sounds real good because it's decorated with crosses. Listen to what Paul said in Philippians. He said, "Many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you again, even weeping, for they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, for they mind earthly things." That's an indictment, brother. That's Philippians 3:18, if you're listening and want to look it up, if you want to make sure I'm not lying. I want you to make sure. I want you to challenge everything I say. I don't want you to sit there like a bump on a log. But especially, I don't want you to sit there like a bump on a log thinking about something without making it to everybody. That's why I get so upset when I see, I'm doing something wonderful. I'm thinking about what he said. That's crap. I want you to interrupt if you're thinking.
Oh, but you yell at me. No, poor you. You're so... I'm not nursing your little inner child.
Anybody seen that ING commercial? This guy, you know, they're sitting there on a park bench, and this other guy's saying, "What's that? What's that?" ING is blah, blah, blah. It's this company. No, what's that? And it's this guy with a little duplicate of himself. And the little duplicate of himself is crying and yelling and saying, I want it. You're so mean to me. I want this. I don't want to nurse you when you're in a child. I want to kill a son of a bitch. All this psychobabble that's going on in the name of God is just, it's beyond, it's at the best, it's sour milk.
Oh, well, I'm sitting around and we're giving solutions to something.
What? Ronnie's laughing at me. Why are you laughing at me?
Oh, this is what I think you should do, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Pick up your cross. That's what you should do.
Oh, I've been thinking about this for 3 weeks now. This has been troubling me.
Never let it go. Chew on that bone.
I mean, this, what I'm talking about this morning is that these are the basics of the basics. This is remedial Christianity.
Nothing wrong with it, though.
Why?
And this we will do.
Yeah. I know.
Laying not again the foundation of repentance from dead works and all that whole
yeah.
thing.
No. Anybody else thinking about something?
Thinking about confessing.
Where in the hell did that come from?
Well, that word confess, when you confess something, it's another one of those trick concepts of, well, now I'm going to confess Jesus and then I'll be, you know, okay and saved. But that word confessing means you know what you do, not what you say you do or what you say you think.
Well, it's confession means, the word is homologio. And it means to speak the same thing. But you can't speak the same thing until you first heard the same thing. That's why you can't hear the same thing until your ear is circumcised. You can't believe the same thing until your heart is circumcised.
Is it doable?
No. You haven't been here very long, but I've told you forever, if you ever hear something that you can do, then you've heard me wrong.
I mean, the emptying of myself, can I achieve that state?
You're in big shit if you don't.
I understand that.
Because you're filling the temple with dung, if you believe what Paul said.
It's a continual process, too. You can't one day wake up and say, well, I've done it. I've emptied myself.
No, because you've used the word I. It proves you didn't.
The word I is the tip.
It's the tip.
The new song that we're supposed to be singing is the total and complete lack of the I motive in anything.
Talk about a catch-22.
That's why Paul said, I speak as a fool every time he mentioned himself. But he felt he had to in order to make some point.
Yeah, see, this is a good question because it is always the question. Okay, I hear, I'm listening real good now. Aha! Empty myself. That's what I'll do.
How many times did the word I come up in that sentence?
Yeah, and then
you reckon yourself crucified. Crucified means dead. Your cross isn't your mother-in-law or your little hangnail or even cancer or anything else. Your cross is your death. That's why you mortify. Mortify is to reckon as dead. That means you give no breath to, no importance to your condition. You give no importance to your ideas, your thoughts, your emotions, your physical condition. You have food and shelter, therewith be content.
oh, but I'm not content right now because I'm thinking about what a man I would, blah, blah,
can go. I mean, it's just babble. We'll do John 17 tomorrow. Anybody want to respond to anything?
Meet you here at 7:30 tomorrow.
And I'll tell you what, everybody better be here if I'm here. No, I mean, you know what? They do this to me all the time. I forget what day it is, so they have some little holiday or something, and I come here at morning, and I come here at the morning at 7:30, and nobody's here, and I get so mad, I'm going to go commit mass murder.
Bruce, you haven't emptied yourself yet.
Yeah, but then at 9:30 you get your brunch.
Well, then I forgive everybody. That's the same. What I just said, just like people saying, "Will you accept Jesus as your personal Savior?" Or, well, that's really big of you. Or how about I'm making Jesus Lord of my life? Or I just give you all the glory. Oh, isn't that nice of you? That's really pleasant.
Let's give the Lord a clap.
Or that's like the example I use all the time. Is that you go, you know, you go to Frank, you go tell Frank Sinatra or some singer, "Oh, you're such a great singer." And then he looks at you, "You little pissant, who put you above me to judge whether I'm good or bad?" Well, imagine what that does to God. I just love it when people come to me. "Holy, that was such a good talk." Well, you, what the hell are you doing? You have to raise yourself above me to make that judgment. First of all, I don't do a good talk. Because there's nothing. I'm not good at anything.
I don't do a good talk. That would be an example.
That would be a perfect example.
They love to mock me when I use bad verbiage.
Yeah. But my point to you is, it doesn't. All of that is just a trick of your mind to elevate yourself. Can you understand that? Judgmental praise. "Oh, but it's just, I'm just trying to be nice. I'm just trying to say the right..." Anything you do is going to get you in trouble. Anything you say is going to prove you're still judging good and evil.
I was thinking, let me see now, what could work here?
Nothing.
Oh, I really heard something this morning.
Don't even go there.
Don't get started.
Well, it's the proof. But my God, you've been telling me that for 33 years, so it's a proof. It doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, you've got a lot of
spiking matches. Now you're a pool of gasoline spiking matches.
Now somebody's going to criticize. Watch, we're going to get emails, but I said the word shit 2-3 times here. Paul used dung. That's what shit is. Oh, it's just horrible, your language. Well, I'm horrible. Nobody asked you to listen, and nobody asked you to come here. Take a big dive.
Get out of here, you disgusting.
Yeah, just that.
Pissing. Holy rat's ass.
No.
Okay, no. Joanne's got something to say.
Who is?
You.
Chuck.
I got Dwayne and Chuck and Diane lined up.
Chuck and Diane.
This is all revolutionary stuff, and I just hang on every word, and I'm very interested, and I'm trying to figure out.
I'm not saying anything.
That
was 18
no,
eyes.
No,
what
no,
am
no,
I going
no,
to do?
No, listen. There's this, my favorite, I don't know where it came from. But you don't have to say anything. It's what you are speaks so loudly I can't hear what you say you are. Our only hope is death. Reckon ourselves crucified.
Paul said, "Who will deliver me from this man of sins?"
Right, that's talking about himself.
When you see yourself, like you say, Beth, how hard is it to walk away from a
dead body or a pile of crap?
Yeah.
If you take a dump, it doesn't take you any effort to walk away from it. See, it smells bad. Well, you're the pile of dung. Now walk away from it. Leave you behind. Oh, no, I've got good. I'm good. Compared to what?